I believe that all of us are searching for answers. And I believe most of those answers can only come from God, and I believe that with all my heart. You know, life is full of decisions. It's like a giant multiple choice test that we talked about last week. And those that choose the right answer get the most out of life. And those that choose the wrong answer, well, they suffer the consequences. In life, we face a lot of decisions. Every step, every turn, we face those decisions. We're in this series called I Think. And it is about improving our decision-making ability, because the decisions that you make determine the kind of life you live. And the sum total of those decisions, they define us, don't they? And my hope and prayer in this series is that we will all move from this position where we kind of guess, and so we make decisions in our life, and we've got this high level of uncertainty. And so we're like, I think I made the right decision, didn't I? And then we kind of not sure about it, to actually leveraging our God-given intellect and our God-given resources so that when we make a decision, that we can make it with confidence and we can say, I made this decision because I think. Those are two very different ways to live. Last week we talked about the life of Jesus, that he's one of the greatest decision makers in history. And we talked about his process to a degree of how he processed and made decisions. And we talked about three defining questions. We said that Jesus asks, is it written? Is it love? And is it on the agenda? And that is it written is the number one question. It's the most important question that you will ever ask when you're faced with a decision. And if you weren't here, I want to really encourage you, go to our podcast, and it's on iTunes, or you can go online and you can watch the service or listen to the message and get caught up, but I'd encourage you to do that. Today what we're going to do is we're going to discover that great decision-making is knowing where the line is. Knowing where that line is, falling in line, so to speak. And I believe lines in life, that they represent good decisions in life or bad decisions in life. You know, the line is a place that represents that ethical behavior or unethical behavior, morality or immorality. And we got to decide which side of the line that we're going to live on. You know, when I look at most of the dumb decisions that I've made in my life, I know you find that hard to believe, don't you? But I've made those, what was I thinking, decisions, either because I didn't seek any counsel, or I sought counsel and I asked the wrong people, or I was in the wrong place and trying to find the answer. The book of Proverbs we're going to find today is all about wisdom. It's all about knowledge. It's all about God's insight into things. And the book of Proverbs is going to tell us straight up why we make dumb decisions in our life. And the first reason that we make bad decisions is because we're inexperienced. It is a place where we've all been. The fact is, some of you are there today. You're in new territory. You're facing a new challenge in your life. You've got a unique situation that you've never faced before. And the reality is that you're inexperienced in the area. Scripture says this, it says, fool, how long will you love being ignorant? How long will you make fun of wisdom? How long will you hate knowledge? You know, how long will you be foolish? How long will you be naive? How long are you going to ignore the wisdom that God has on this? And you can kind of see where this is going, don't you? It's like, okay, I got it. You want to know how long? How long am I going to keep living and not knowing? And sometimes I think about that when I'm around like student age kids, you know, middle school, junior high, maybe college age, even young adults. It's funny, the older I get, the higher that young gets. True? But the fact is, when I look at someone that's in that young age, they're inexperienced, aren't they? They're inexperienced. Scripture says, fools die because they refuse to follow wisdom. They're content to follow their foolish ways, and that will destroy them. But those who listen to me will live in safety and comfort. They will have nothing to fear. When you're inexperienced in a particular area, knowing where the line is, knowing where that line exists, is the difference between a good decision and a bad decision in life. Kids, young adults, so many times, they need to hear that advice. They need to hear that wisdom. And the fact is, they need to hear from their parents. They need to hear from grandparents, teachers, neighbors, people they go to church with, pastors. I mean, sure, kids and young people kind of respond, you know, why are you yelling at me? You know, why are you trying to ruin my life? Why are you overreacting about this? You know, leave me alone. I'm 15 and I'm a lot smarter than you think I am. And here's the deal. Even when you present facts and you give them the 10 reasons why it's a bad decision, many times they're like, whatever, you know, who cares? Give me a break. Why are you so amped up about this? And they step over the line. They step over the line because the fact is they've not lived long enough to fully comprehend the consequence of moving from here to here. They just haven't. They don't listen sometimes because they're inexperienced. You know, the writer is pleading with those individuals that are in this new territory going, how long are you going to ignore the wisdom? There's wisdom here. You got to stay on track. It's going to destroy you if you keep going the direction you're going. God's wisdom's a better way. It's wisdom that'll result in comfort in your life and safety, and you can live fearlessly in your life. I mean, what kind of dumb decisions? Well, you know, you can pick the ones that we tend to gravitate toward. You talk about sex, for instance. The fact is, God created us with our sexual drive. It's a God-given thing, and it's a good thing. And God says, but you need to do it within the parameters that I give you. Inexperience says, I'm going to do it my way. God's way, kind of old-fashioned, isn't it? Our culture says sex is okay. Anywhere, anyone, doesn't really matter. There aren't any consequences. It's not a big deal. So I can live over here. But God says, no. We've got some lines here. You know, stats haven't changed a whole lot. About 47% of high school students are sexually active. And the fact is, they don't really realize God's rationale for not stepping over here. They don't understand God's wisdom because they've not lived long enough. They've not lived to see the consequences, the problems, the issues that happen when you cross the line. You know, they haven't had to look in enough people's eyes that have had their heart ripped out because they were used. They haven't had to look at someone and listen to someone that will lie about their sexual escapades because the fact is they're embarrassed about it. You know, they haven't lived long enough or talked to someone that's contracted a devastating disease, or they've had their life radically, radically changed because they became a parent too soon. See, they end up here because of inexperience. And many times, they step over that line because they're just inexperienced in things. You know, sometimes I'll see young people, middle school, high school age, college, or I'll hear about it. And, You know, they'll be out drinking, and, or I'll see them smoking or something. And I, let me tell you, young people, if you're here this morning, let me tell you what I am not thinking when I see or I hear stories about that. I am not going, man, they are so cool. They are so cool. Look at what they're doing. This is cool. No, I am thinking, this is sad because they do not realize how dumb the decision is, how foolish, how naive they are. They don't understand the consequences of crossing that line. See, inexperience can lead us into all kinds of dangers. Again, I don't think they've lived long enough to see the cost, to personally know someone that the doctor said, I'm sorry, but you've got 6 months to live, and the cigarettes, they killed you. You know, they haven't been around someone that now's doing time because they ended up there in a car with their brother, and their brother didn't make it because they were drinking and driving. See, some of you see the line, but because you're young and you're inexperienced and you're in some new territory, you make the foolish decision. Now, some of you, you're not so young. How many not so young here? Some of you just never grew up. Scripture says, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight, God's insight. That's great advice there. Writer of Proverbs is telling those that are inexperienced, listen to the advice that God's word has. Listen to godly wisdom. It will save you a boatload of pain and hurt. You know, when I was growing up, I never really had any issues with drugs or alcohol or the party scene. That was of no interest to me. And so I never went down that road. Now, I made lots of foolish decisions. Trust me. I look back and I realize that. And I learned the hard way. When I would step over that line, it just wasn't fun. You know, it would jam me up. But at an early age, I realized the value of making a good decision. Now, I don't want you going, wow, Damon, you're the man. Because the fact is, it was a God thing. It was a God thing. God put people in my life to press me and to challenge me. They spoke wisdom into my life. They gave me advice. You know, I had parents that were always helping me figure out where that line was and to stay away from it. I had neighbors that loved me, and they spoke into my life. You know, I had one neighbor, every Saturday, I could just count on, he would be out mowing the yard, or she'd be out in the yard, and they would make a point of walking across the street, and they would say, we will see you at church Sunday. It was a great thing. I mean, I had Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. They were tenacious, and they were all over me when I would get anywhere close to a line. And the church played an important role in wisdom gaining so that it kept me on this side of the line. When we were raising our girls as parents, church was not an option. In other words, we never went to our kids and said, hey, you feel like going to church? We would say, girls, get ready. We're going to church. We're leaving in 20 minutes or whatever. And yes, they would complain once in a while. They were normal kids. But they knew it wasn't an option. Are we going to church or not? And then after I was a pastor, they really didn't have an option. You know, they go, but Dad's boring. He's so boring, you know. But it just wasn't an option. Church is where we went on Sunday, just like school and work was where we went on Monday. And the reason why we were so committed to that, I realized that growing up in the church, I gained wisdom in life. You know, I would listen to stories about David or Joshua or Esther and Solomon and Peter and Paul, and I would hear about these men and women that made dumb decisions, and they made good decisions, great decisions in their life. And so I would listen to those stories, and I began asking questions. And I began thinking, I'm not going there. I'm going to live on this side of the line. You know, people would share their testimony sometimes of how God had worked in their life and changed their life. And they would talk about what life was like on this side of the line. They'd talk about how they messed up. And they would talk about the years that they wasted and the pain and the hurt, how they'd hurt themselves and others. And I would listen and I would think, I do not want to go there in my life. How many parents we got? Your kids are still in the house. Here's the deal. I know it is tough. It is tough being a parent these days. I think it's always been tough being a parent. But one of the most important decisions that you will make is to make sure your kids are in church every week. Make sure they're in the zone, you know, to hear that age-appropriate message, to hear biblical teaching, so that they can begin to decide where the line is in their life. It helps them in decision-making. And I'm going to say something about the whole extracurricular activity thing. I think it's important that your kids are involved in things like that. You know, that it helps a child develop and grow and mature, you know. And so I've always been big on sports and science and the arts, and all those things are great. But parents, you are making a foolish decision if you get them involved in activities that take them out of church on a regular basis. Yeah, they're gonna learn some good things doing whatever it is that they're doing. But I will guarantee you it will not give them the octane that they need for discerning things in their life, for making wise and godly decisions that keep them from moving over the line. You know, Faith Fellowship, we're here to help you and to help your children grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's also helping them become great decision makers. See, it's a God thing. It's a parenting thing. You know, it's a peer thing. You bet. They're speaking into their life big time, and it's a church thing. You know, have you noticed this as parents? Just about the time you get things figured out, you go, okay, this is how you deal with this. Things change. Have you figured that out? You know, the challenge changes. The kids change. You think you got it figured out. You have your first kid, and you go, oh, yeah, this is how you handle this, and this is how you do this, and this is how you speak into their life. And then you have another kid, and nothing works. They're so different, and so you got to figure it out again. And so I've decided, and I'm doing the grandparent thing now, but we're really all inexperienced. We're inexperienced each time. And it's not just parents. All of us in life are inexperienced with some of the paths that we're on and some of the decisions that we make. And so I think that's why we need God's wisdom, because we don't have it all figured out and we don't know it all. And God's ways are higher than our ways. And it really comes down to trust. Do you trust God when God says, here's the line, here's the line? You know, people, they'll tell me, well, the only reason God puts lines down is he's a cosmic killjoy. You know, he's trying to just take all the fun out of life. Friends, the line is there because it's part of God's excellent plan. You know, the guidelines are there so that we can experience the best that life has to offer. Young people, trust your parents. Trust the leaders in your life. Trust the people that are around you when they say, that's not a good line to cross. God put them in your life for a reason. God put them in their life because God wants you to experience the best of life, and it's on this side of the line. Listen to their advice. You don't know what you don't know. You can think about that one for a little bit. You don't know what you don't know. Trust God. Trust God's word. It's the best way. It's a safe way. It is the way that leads to the abundant life. Inexperience will get you on this side of the line. Some of the dumb decisions we make because we're inexperienced. Sometimes it's indifference. And I want to talk about it because foolishness gets taken to the next level when we are indifferent to things. It says fools enjoy doing wrong, but the wise enjoy wisdom. Fools love doing wrong. It's like a sport for them. It's like extreme sport. Yeah, bring it on, baby. Yeah, and so inexperience, it will move a person to see the line, but they think, oh, people are just overreacting. And so they make the dumb decision to come over here. Indifference, when people are warned, they go, hey, there's the line. Don't cross the line. You know, someone says, hey, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to destroy your marriage. I don't care. I'm fine. I'm going to do what I want to do. Hey, if you keep treating your children like that, you're going to destroy your relationship with them. I don't care. I'm in charge. I'm dad. I'm mom. We're in charge of them. If you don't budget, if you continue to spend money like you're spending money, you're going to lose everything. I don't care. I want what I want. Do you see the difference here? When indifference rules, we start enjoying doing wrong. I don't care. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't cross this line. I'm going to cross this line. I'm going to do what I want to do because I can. And there's a little bit more kind of in your face with it. All right. Close your ears if you're squeamish at all. Just la, 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 do that, but don't say la, la, la out loud, okay? Scripture says this, like a dog that returns to its vomit. A fool does the same thing again and again. Friends, I have seen a dog eat its vomit. It is not pretty. It's horrible. You know, when I was growing up, I had a dog. His name was Blaze, German Shepherd. And he was a great dog. And he was dumb. I mean, he was dumb sometimes, really dumb. He loved to chase cars. And so sometimes he'd be chasing a car, and he would get just a little too close, and they'd kind of clip him, and he would run off yelping. Guess what he'd do the next day? Chase cars. I mean, he was dumb. And then one day, a semi got him. Shattered his back leg. Had to have pins. He was in a cast for months. As soon as he got out of his cast, guess what he did? No, he was dumb, not stupid. He did not chase cars. He quit chasing cars, actually. It ended up that was a good thing for him because he just quit. But I think, you know what? I'm a lot like Blaze. And so are you. I mean, maybe we should say, as a dog chases a car, so a fool will repeat the same stupid thing. I mean, it's true. We're like that, aren't we? We get over here. We get jammed up. God honks the horn at us. You know, we get bumped a little bit, that little warning. And so we jump back across and go, whoa, you know, okay, I get it. Don't cross the line. And then next day or next week or next month, we're right back over doing the same thing we were doing before. And the Bible says we're fools. We're indifferent. In fact, even as I say that, some of you are going, I don't care. Here's the deal. Are you waiting for a semi to get you? I mean, really. And here's a hard realization. It says, be friends with those who are wise. and you'll become what? Wise. Choose fools to be your friends, and you will have what? Trouble. Who do you run with? Who do you hang out with? Are they wise? And I'm not talking about IQ here. I mean, do they have real wisdom, godly wisdom? You know, do they have knowledge and discernment so that as they're making decisions in life, that they make the godly decisions and stay on this side of the line? You know, here's the deal. The fact is, I understand that fools suffer harm. But the companion of a fool also suffers harm. In other words, maybe you're dating a fool. You're not a fool, but they're a fool. And if you are a companion with them, friends, they could do you harm. In fact, they probably will do you harm. You know, maybe you work at a job and you're surrounded by fools. They can harm you. They can hurt you. They can cause you trouble in life. And my point is, you don't get in a car with a fool. You don't go to a party with a fool. You don't hang out with fools because they may jam you up. You know, stay away from them. You will suffer harm. They will cause you trouble. It's like a warning label that we get from the writer of Proverbs. And some of us just ignore the warning. We go, I don't care. You know, nobody's going to tell me who I can hang out with and who I'm not supposed to be around. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Proverbs say, watch out, because you're being a fool. You're going to get hurt. You know, the fact is, it's something we struggle with. And here's the deal. Usually the only way we stop being indifferent to God's wisdom, the only way we stop living over here is when we suffer the consequences. You know, it's when you get hit by the semi, so to speak. Then we say, you know what? I think I need some different wisdom here. I need some discernment. I need to do things a little bit different. And here's the final stage that you go to, and that's we move from this indifference to a place of indignant. You know, and I want you to notice how things are progressing here. If you're inexperienced, and we've all been there, and we will continue to be there sometimes. But if you're inexperienced, you kind of start there in your life. But if you stay there too long, what happens is you move from being inexperienced to being indifferent. And usually what happens is after you get rocked a couple times, you kind of wise up and go, I don't think I want to live on this side of the line. I'm going to live over here. But some, not many, they move to this spot and they live here. And they are indignant about why they're here. And the Bible uses different words. It talks about being a mocker or a scoffer. It's living in a place where you make fun of wisdom, actually. Scripture says, anyone who makes fun of wisdom will never find it. But knowledge comes easy to those who understand its value. See, the mocker lives on this side of the line. They're clueless. They're careless in their life. They're critical. In fact, they actually make fun of wisdom sometimes. And people that would say, this isn't a good place to be. The person that's inexperienced, they see the line. They see the line. They step across the line because they're inexperienced. They don't listen to the advice because they just haven't lived long enough. And so they end up over here. The person that's indifferent, they also see the line. But they've got a little bit of an attitude with it. It's kind of like, well, whatever. Who cares? I'm going to live over here. The person that's indignant, that scoffer, the person that makes fun of wisdom, this line does not matter to them at all. In fact, if you live over here long enough, what happens is that line begins to fade. And at some point, it becomes invisible. You no longer see it. In fact, you look around and you're not even sure where the line is anymore in your life, because there aren't any lines. What's someone look like that lives that way? Well, a lot of times they're very angry. They got a lot of kind of visceral in their attitude. Someone tries to help them, move in the right direction. Christian friend says, that's not good. And they take a really hard stance. You hypocrites. Christians are all hypocrites. All they want is your money. Christians are so weak. I mean, they're weak. They're pathetic. They are weak people. What a joke. What a waste. I mean, who needs God? And friends, they're very, very difficult to reach when they get to that point. In fact, I would encourage you to not try and convince them. Don't trade insults with them. Because it goes nowhere. What you got to do, you just got to love. You got to love them. You got to pray and watch for that opportunity where a spiritual window or door might open up. But the fact, when people are indignant, it's really a sign that they're hurt. They're hurt. And so they've got this anger, because the fact is they're lost. They can't figure out where the line's at. And most of the time, they're pretty miserable. They're pretty miserable. And the writer of Proverbs says, not only are the lines invisible, but the writer says they can't be helped. Says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. And I know, maybe as I am saying that, for some of you, you're thinking, I don't know, that might be me. Well, I would tell you that's a good sign. It means there's hope. But what you got to do is you got to pack up all your stuff and move back to this side of the line. And you need to start enrolling in a school of wisdom, a school of insight. I call it grad school, where we start allowing God to speak into our life. This is where lives are changed. This is where we become great decision makers. I mean, they are born as we start seeking out God, as we start seeking out a better way to live. I believe that God wants all of us, whether we're inexperienced or we're indifferent or we're indignant, that God wants us to enroll in his school and allow his insight into life to start directing us. See, friends, this is where you experience the grace of God and the mercy of Jesus Christ. This is the place where you begin to live and to actually grow in your life. This is where you begin to experience the difference Jesus Christ can make in making good decisions in our lives. And friends, this is the place where you begin to experience the abundant life, the best that life has to offer. And the only difference is God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom in our life. I need God's wisdom in my life to keep me experiencing that, the best. The best. Paul writes this. He says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Talk about when Christ will come back, to the glory and praise of God. Knowledge, more and more knowledge. What's knowledge? Well, it's information. It's God's wisdom. It's what God has to say. It's God's insights on how we live life. And when we have that, we're able to discern. We're able to choose. We're able to make the right decisions most of the time. Things are no longer obscure. where we're no longer going, oh, I don't know what to do, don't know what to do. In fact, you start seeing things more clearly as God gives you wisdom. You know, you begin to see life on a higher level. You begin to experience the best that life has to offer, and that's what God wants for us. That's why God puts all the words in Scripture, so that we'll have the best that life has. And we all have that God-given potential in our life. We all have that. But we got to enroll in the school of wisdom and godly insight. And the school is intense. Every once in a while, someone will catch me. They go, well, what if I have a decision to make and God's word doesn't directly address that? You know, what do I do? Well, you move back to the macro questions that we talked about last week. You go, okay, is it written? No, I can't find anything in God's word about it. Is it love? You know, is it on the agenda? And understand this. This is the difference between good and great in your life. There are lots of good things, but that doesn't mean it's on the agenda for you. You got to pick the great things. But you ask those three questions, then you got to ask the micro questions. And here's how the question kind of goes, and stay with me for a moment. Remember I said it was intense. Against the backdrop of my past, in other words, past tense, considering my present situation as I'm assessing things, as I'm looking at things, that the decision that I'm going to make right now as I look at things, see, present tense, as I think about my future and what God wants to do, what my goals are, what my dreams are, what God's called me to do, see, future tense. So as I think about the past, as I think about the present, as I look to the future, here's the question. What's the most God-honoring thing I can do? What's the most God-honoring decision that I can make? That is a powerful question. I've used that most of my life. And when I ask that question, when I seek God's guidance, God's advice, God's discernment, when I say, God, what's the most God-honoring thing I can do? That decision gets pretty easy. I'm not saying it's easy to do. I'm not saying that you're not challenged. And I didn't say, oh, you get to do what you want. Because sometimes that's not. But when I answer the question, what's the most God-honoring thing I can do? It gets very, very clear. Very clear. And we're going to get into that in more detail next week. I've noticed something about dumb decisions. Dumb decisions that I've watched people make, dumb decisions that I've made. And I've seen people that were relatively smart, seem to have things going for them, but they keep making the dumb decisions. Dumb decision after dumb decision after dumb decision. Why? You know, it's not like one day they're kind of walking along and they're trying to figure things out. And so one day they end up and they go, whoa, whoa, I fell across the line. That's not what happens. See, it is much more complex, and it's really kind of sinister at a point, because there's a process that gets you there. See, behind every dumb decision, there is a series of unwise choices, and it's a little bit like a domino effect, and finally we end up across the line. You make enough dumb, little bitty decisions. I don't care how small they are. You get enough of them, and one day you move from here to here. Just happens because of all the little decisions. And we're going to hit this hard next week. Today we talked about those different ways that we end up across the line. all of them are learned processes. They are. And you have to decide how you're going to live. You have to decide where you're going to turn for insight, who you're going to listen to. And here's what I've figured out. If you turn to God for insight, if you trust God when God says there's a line, if you trust God, you will find you start making better decisions all the time. And in fact, you get better and better and better at making decisions because God will equip you to figure that out. Most of the time, if you put God first and you listen to God, it's really kind of rare that a decision's hard. Again, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that it's not hard to make because you know what it means that you got to do, but it's not you're going, I don't know what decision to make. I have no clue. I have no idea. God will make that an easy process. As I am, I think. And as I think, I am. Scripture says it this way, as I think, so I become. And friends, I am wiser the closer I walk to God. And I'm wiser about where that line is. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. God, I pray that all of us would just hear your wisdom, that we'd see those lines, that God, sometimes we don't even have to read your word, and there's something in us that goes, I don't think this is a good idea. But God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just nudge us, push us, press us, that you'd bring people into our lives that would just get in our ear, say, don't go across that line. And God, all of us have stepped across that line many times. God, I thank you for your grace that when we're willing to say, God, I messed up here, that you're willing to help us put things back together and start living on the other side of that line instead. And God, I know there are some here today that they're in some new territory in their life. Maybe a situation at work or with their kids or maybe something going on in their marriage or whatever, God. But I pray that you just give them clarity, that they would hear those voices of reason, the godly reason around them, that that voice would just rise above the voice of culture or those that are giving us bad advice. God, I pray you'd make the decisions clear for us. That you'd give us the strength to make the right decisions and the courage. God, we lay those decisions before you today. We know you're a good God. You're a loving God. You want the best for us. And God, I pray that we would just live with your insight in our life. That we would do and say the things that you'd have us say. And God, we give you the glory this day and every day. And God's people said, let's stand and worship together.